I'm here to make the case that it's worth moving our collective gaze beyond the economic shockwaves that are crashing on us, if only for a few minutes. Look into the future with me at what is shaping up to be a major theme of the 21st century, that is, a global battle over the limited resources of land and water. Filmmaker Daniel Junge spent 3 years going back and forth to the Brazilian Amazon to explore a mystery. Who was so opposed to saving the rainforest that he or she would order a gangland-style killing of an environmentalist, an American nun, as she walked down a forest path? Well, Daniel Junge, this is one gripping documentary that you've made.
Thank you. Well, it was a privilege to tell this story.
I got to say, you know where people's heads are right now. It's not the Brazilian rainforest. It's probably, will they have a job in the U.S. economy? How can you make the case that we should spend time in the wild west of Brazil talking about an environmental issue?
Save the rainforest was a mantra that we heard as children. We know that that's a unique ecosystem that is being destroyed very quickly. But now we know that the issue is much greater than this. This is tied into the huge environmental problems in the world.
Talk about global warming, aren't you?
Yeah.
I saw some data from the environmental group Greenpeace, and apparently, if you look at the chopping down of rainforest around the world, not just in Brazil, it accounts for more of the greenhouse gases than all of global transportation, cars and trains and planes, together.
That's right. I read that, too. It's not surprising that the number one and number two offenders on there are the U.S. and China, but number three and number four are Indonesia and Brazil. And, of course, this is because of the burning of the rainforest.
But your film really isn't the view from 30,000 feet over an environmental issue like An Inconvenient Truth was, Al Gore's film. It's a very personal story involving, at the heart of it, a courtroom drama, but also a family.
On February 12, 2005, at a place in the Brazilian Amazon called Esperanza, or Hope, they killed Sister Dorothy, a 73-year-old Catholic nun from Dayton, Ohio.
Ela não sabia que aqui ali estava sendo desenhada a morte dela. E encontraram a Dorothy. Quando encontrou a Dorothy, reacendeu o negócio do planejamento. Tu tens coragem de matar esta velha? Ela leu Mateus para os senhores. E virou as costas e caminhou, senhores. E ele diz: se a senhora não resolveu nada até agora, a senhora não vai resolver nada. E dá um tiro. Ela caiu, ele se aproximou e descarregou todo o revólver.
It's ultimately a murder story. It's a murder mystery. And our vehicle for the story is David Stang, the brother of Dorothy Stang, who's killed in the film. We traveled with him 10 days after she was murdered. He was looking into the details behind her death.
Dot and I were very close. We were both missionaries. We both had the same sense of activism, of love and compassion for those who have nothing. She went to Brazil because I went to Africa first, and that ticked her off. Her younger brother went to the missions first. She never forgave me for that. Dorothy was in Brazil from 1967. She loved Brazil so much, she took on the citizenship of Brazil. Because of all the work that she did with the poor, migrants, peasants, farmers, people truly in need that had no power, those people called her the Angel of the Amazon.
Now, you never had occasion, of course, to meet Sister Dorothy, but you spent a lot of time with every piece of archive footage you could find. You spent a lot of time with her brother. What do you think drove her forward?
Yeah, I feel like I know her through the footage and through David. David told me time and again about how they were raised with a respect for the land and how their father taught them organic farming. And I think that they were raised in the Catholic faith where you stood up for the underprivileged, but also with this profound respect for nature. And I think those two things fused together when she arrived in Brazil to not only help the underprivileged and to help their fight, but also to see that sustaining the land was part of God's work, I think.
She is passionate about this work, but she also must realize it's dangerous. People have died in this quest before in Brazil.
Sure, she was told time and again that there was a price on her head for the work that she did because it runs completely counter to the status quo in the Amazon.
Well, I remember in the film, the brother David is depicted talking about a weird phone call that he got from his sister in Brazil.
She called me up. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. She said to me, "It's getting more difficult for me to deal with this." And so for someone who's so positive all the time, that conversation told me a lot. And I said, "I wonder if she's thinking something is going to happen on this trip."
So what is it, Daniel, like a day later when his sister, Dorothy, ends up dead?
Literally a day later. And so 2 days later, he gets a call, and he hears that his sister was found dead on a muddy Amazon road with 6 bullet holes in her.
But it's not a huge mystery who was actually there that day with a gun in their hand.
That's right. And there's no mystery of who pulled the trigger. We know who pulled the trigger. But what the film becomes is an examination of why she was killed and who else was involved. And what's revealed, ultimately, is a greater consortium, which involves the powers that be in the Amazon, loggers and ranchers. And ultimately also a larger problem, which is what's happened in the Amazon, the systemic problems which led to her death.
Let's talk about that. Why would anybody want to gun down a nun on a road?
Well, they probably wouldn't if she had only stayed in church and said her prayers, but she was involved in much more important stuff. When she arrives in Brazil in the 60s, rather than just handing out food baskets and praying with the poor, she decides very quickly that her mission is to help find justice for the poor as well. And that's what she did over most of the time that when she was in Brazil. It was in maybe the last decade of her life that she, like a lot of people living in that environment, saw the incredible destruction was happening. And so her attention turned not only to helping the disadvantaged, but also doing it in a way which would protect the environment. She started the country's Sustainable Development Project, which essentially allowed landless farmers to work on the land and only farm 20% of it, leaving 80% of the forest standing. And of course, this system is very scary to the powers that be in the Amazon because the loggers and ranchers want a clear cut.
And the way Sister Dorothy herself frames the issue, this is about helping the have-nots instead of the haves. Let's take a look.
The more and more that I'm here, I've been seeing the damage that's being done to the Amazon forest. And here in Brazil, we have much accumulated land in the hands of a few. And these peasant people are the heavy workers. They don't have a chance to share in the riches that the planet can offer because some people are taking off so much of the pleasures of this world and there's only so much to go around.
Sister Dorothy's helping to pioneer this blueprint for saving the rainforest, 20% for formerly landless peasants, but preserve the rest.
That's right.
And it helps those landless peasants, but it doesn't help everybody. I mean, the ranchers want the land to raise cattle on, but also there are, I mean, Brazil is a developing country. There are a lot of people who want to work on cutting the trees down or on the ranches.
It's true. It's a complicated issue. And in fact, you see in the film, you see crowds of people amassed when things got very tense before she died, crowds of people amassed who are actually speaking out against the PDS. And just anecdotally,
the PDS is this approach to preserving the land.
The Sustainable Development Project. And I think I can only say anecdotally, when I was on the ground there, I think that there might have been half the people who were for this and half the people are against this because these are people who are desperately poor and they want jobs. But, of course, in the same clip, you see them say, "We want jobs. We came here for jobs. We came to tame the land." Well, even that language, tame the land, indicates what they think the model of development is, which is to torch and burn the land. The PDS is minuscule. It's like 200 square miles. It's smaller than most counties in America. And yet still, even that small project of an idealized version of what can happen in the rainforest couldn't be met because of the land disputes, because of the ambiguity of who owned the land. And I think that's endemic of what's happening throughout the Amazon. It's just that the attention was called to this because Dorothy died there.
a lot of twists and turns in this film, but a big section is the brother David observing the trial of a rancher, not the lower level folks accused of being trigger men, but the rancher who's accused of being one of the masterminds of the murder. It's this rancher, what's his nickname, Beta?
Beta for short.
And he says he has nothing to do with any of this.
Of course not.
But he hires quite a legal team.
Yeah, his lawyer is, if you wrote this guy as fiction, you wouldn't believe it. He's larger than life. His name's Américo Leal, and he's a notorious lawyer who defends a lot of the ranchers in the region.
Notorious in the nicest possible sense of the word, right? But he's got this big beard, he has dark glasses in a lot of the shots, but how in the world did you get access to him? And your camera's right in there as he's plotting legal strategy.
Yeah, well, I was surprised when I asked him if we could. The first day I asked him if we could shoot him in his office, he said, no, but you can shoot me on my Harley Davidson in the rainforest, which goes to show what kind of guy he is. I was surprised at our access to him as well, which is pretty unfettered. And I think that this speaks to the fact that the impunity in the Amazon, I don't think there's any recourse against him being extremely bombastic and saying the things that he says in the film. And also, I think that this story's been greatly sensationalized, both in the international press, but certainly in the Brazilian press. And when I said, I'm giving you a chance to say it as you see it, and there won't be any overt commentary in the film, that you get your say. I think he jumped at that opportunity.
He's got quite a task, though. I mean, his client is accused of masterminding the death of, let me remind you, a nun. So how does he try to pull that off? What could he possibly say?
He has a couple of really potent tools in his tool case, and those are nationalism and xenophobia. In the Amazon, there's a lot of fear of international entities and the U.S. taking over parts of the Amazon. So if he can stir that pot and somehow implicate Dorothy in that, this woman who was doing benign things and working with the Brazilian government, if he can fool the jury and convince her that she's an interloper doing nefarious things, then perhaps he can make his case.
This American-born nun, I mean, that's what he really goes after.
That's right.
The people, he argues in court, that brought you the killing of over a million Iraqi people, he says, the people who brought you Guantanamo, he tells the jury, the place where Brazilian police go to learn how to torture Brazilians, quote, this is the DNA that created Dorothy, the DNA of violence, he says.
Yeah, when it's in relation to a 73-year-old Catholic nun, it sounds preposterous, but of course, this rhetoric works because a lot of it is true, isn't it? I mean, it's a sad statement that our foreign policy makes stuff like this wash in Brazil.
What people have to understand is this is a raw nerve, the United States meddling in Brazilian affairs.
Well, first of all, the Brazilians don't have a short memory, and it's America that reminds me time and again that we supported a dictatorship into the 70s in that country. It also brings into question the presence of the FBI, who actually intervened in this case. The very fact that their presence can be brought up in a courtroom and used simply by virtue of them being there as nefarious is troubling.
You have one of the guys who's there at the murder scene when the nun is killed, and he reveals in court that, oh yeah, he was interviewed by the FBI of the United States. And it's sort of shocking in the middle of this Brazilian courtroom. The FBI, what are they doing there?
And did you believe that when you first heard that?
No, I thought he was making it up. I thought it was a strategy. Was it true?
I didn't think it was true as well when I was in the courtroom. Lo and behold, it was. We learned very quickly from another witness that they were there, and they were there taking the statements. Now, I don't want to cast aspersions on whether the FBI should or shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, some people said it helped the case. Some people said it hurt the case.
That's right. But the very fact that because of our foreign policy and because of what we do in the world, all of this is called into question. And in this case, it worked against Dorothy.
All right, I don't want to be a spoiler. We're not going to let everybody know what happens to the rancher in the film. But I think it's fair to say that the wheels of Brazilian justice continue to turn even now in 2009, right?
Yeah, without telling you what happens to Beta and the main rancher involved in the murder, I can tell you that the other rancher involved in the murder, he's been in jail and out of jail, and now he's free. It's the revolving door of Brazilian justice.
Now, politically in Brazil, things seem to be going toward development and away from preservation. The government of Luiz Inácio da Silva in Brazil was first known as pro-environment.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, President Lula is doing some good things in terms of policy. He shut down logging immediately after Dorothy's death. He set up some new reserves. He's supported the PDS, at least in terms of rhetoric. He's progressive. Often the progressive movement is associated with environmentalism, but he has to promote jobs, and he has promoted development in the region. And in fact, his minister of the environment resigned because she felt he wasn't aggressive enough in protecting the environment.
This happened last spring. I remember there was this member of his cabinet who was crusading on environmental issues, and I think she quit in disgust.
Yeah. And this came after the murder of Dorothy, when more land was supposed to be set aside for reserves, and there was supposedly a moratorium against logging, and yet the problems continued.
And that's exactly the conundrum that you face when you talk about reining in the causes of climate change, which is in developing countries, lots of poor people. You want to lift those people up, but that can also produce electric power plants and other effects like deforestation that can hurt the earth in other ways.
Yeah, and deforestation right now is high. I can say that most recently, because of these alarming statistics that we've talked about, they've announced a new program which will limit deforestation by 70%. It's a very ambitious program, but the question is will it be enforced? Will it have teeth in it? And because Lula can make these laws, but on the other hand, he has to support development and workers, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
This is why your film is so crucial right now, this year. Major debate over future policy on climate change. There's going to be another big conference in Copenhagen at the end of the year. There's a lot of meetings in the run-up to that. You also have the incoming Obama administration embracing some of these climate change policy goals. But world leaders are going to have to deal with these developing countries, countries like Brazil, countries like China, countries like India, in where there are these conflicts between development and keeping the carbon out of the atmosphere.
Yeah, and I think Dorothy herself was never anti-development. I think that kind of rhetoric wouldn't have earned her any points there. But I think that she was very cautious about defining what development is positive. And the slash and burn, which we see in the Amazon for ranching, lumber, and soya, just it isn't sustainable in the Amazon. We mentioned Greenpeace earlier. Dorothy actually worked hand-in-hand with Greenpeace, and I think Greenpeace has the most comprehensive programs and the most knowledge of what's happening in the Amazon. And I think that through a market plan and hopefully through some diplomatic measures, Brazil will start enforcing their environmental laws and we'll see a decline in deforestation.
Sister Dorothy's work to pioneer this blueprint for helping to save the rainforest and put some peasants into a more secure economic situation, did that die with her on that day, on that dirt road?
No, it didn't. When she was murdered, there was some fear that the PDS wouldn't survive. It's surviving now. It's struggling to survive because the powers that be in the Amazon that you see in the film are still working against it. Dorothy was a martyr. Most Catholics now would classify her as a martyr. And martyrs are someone who die for a cause, in this case, who brought a lot of attention to the issue. Her death, by virtue of this film and a lot of news media coverage, people are going to know about her murder and therefore know about why she was killed and the reasons behind her death. And I think in that case, it wasn't futile.
Daniel Jungi, director of They Killed Sister Dorothy. Thank you very much.
Oh, the pleasure was mine. Thank you.
If you want to see Daniel's film, you won't have to wait long. They Killed Sister Dorothy premieres on HBO at 8 p.m. March 25th. You can go to our website to learn more about what actually happened to Sister Dorothy. And as long as you're there, check out our interviews with other important filmmakers. Connect to Now online at pbs.org. President Obama made more than 500 promises during the course of last year's presidential campaign. So how is he doing now? You can track his promises issue by issue and get more updates and information with what is called Obama Watch. And when you're done, be sure to send us your reaction. Connect to Now at pbs.org. On the next edition of Now, in the aftermath of the great economic collapse, the leaders of the planet's big industrialized countries will soon be gathering in London. At stake, the rules of the game for the world economy for generations to come. That's next time on Now. If you and I can talk for just another second, please remember that if you like shows like ours and you want to see more programs like this, now is the time to tell us that by financially supporting this public television station. And that's it for now. From New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We'll see you next week.